Hallelujah. Well, I want to welcome the online students as well as those that are here on Darrell campus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for apostolic. We thank you for apostolic government. We thank you for model fathers and pattern sons. We thank you for the apostle, the founder of this school. We thank you for the apostolic call that's upon his life, that he's literally training sons and daughters for this end time, present day revival that we're in. I thank you for the precious Holy Spirit, who is the only true teacher. No matter what men accolades are, only the Holy Spirit is the true teacher. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, for guarding our thoughts, filling our minds with the thoughts of God for the purposes and the agenda of God, for this school and for these students. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 18 in your book, Catching the Waves of Revival, by Apostle Jonathan David. I think as you would dig deeper into chapter number 18, which talks about the seventh stage of revival, talks about times of the revivalists. And I believe if you really search this out, along with another book in class, I believe that's in the School of Ministry, The Alliance of Honorable Men, you have chapter number 18, which deals with the model father, and you have chapter number 19, which deals with the pattern sons. I believe if you would combine chapter 18 of Catching the Waves of Revival with those two, then it will suit you well as you move farther in ministry. So let's begin chapter number 18, Times of the Revivalists.
The book of Acts.
The book of Acts.
Is the Acts of the Holy Spirit.
It is the Acts of the Holy Spirit.
Through certain apostles.
Moving through certain apostles. Now the Acts of the Holy Spirit, what? In certain men who Jesus ordained to be apostles. Go ahead.
These men were the greatest
products
of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The miracles of healing.
Signs.
And wonders.
And supernatural abilities.
Were all overshadowed by the fact.
That these ordinary men.
Were manifesting God in the human body.
These ordinary men were making manifest God in human bodies. Do y'all understand that? The purpose of the revivalist. Let's get something straight about heaven to earth government. We're not training you to go to heaven. The purpose of training an apostolic government is to bring God's government to the earth realm. That cannot be done without apostolic succession, which means God has to raise up a man who can reproduce himself in men. I'll put it another way, sons and daughters. Y'all understand the Bible is not gender. There's neither male nor female in Christ. So, you know, we ain't got to be all gender conscious in here. Y'all understand? The purpose of a father is to reproduce himself so that the legacy and the assignment of the father goes on to father generations. And that's what you're going to see in chapter 18. Read, sir.
The greatest product of these end time revivals. Is going to be the manifestation of these men. Full of the Holy Spirit
and full of faith.
There is no revival without a revival.
You can settle down, bro. You're trying to preach again in that. Okay, just settle down. You're going to be all right. Take your little coffee, drink. All right, read.
No revival can gather momentum.
Without a revivalist.
A revivalist is not just to carry
is not just carried by a revival wave.
A revivalist
is not just carried by a revival wave.
A revival is not just carried by a revival wave.
It creates revival waves.
It creates revival waves.
Carries an apostolic mantle.
The revivalist carries an apostolic mantle.
That helps him organize.
That helps him to organize.
Consolidate.
That helps him to consolidate.
And establish the believers in what God is.
And to establish the believers in what God is.
Prophetically fulfilling today.
Prophetically fulfilling today.
Number one, understanding the times of revival.
Now, the first step for times of the revivalist is what?
Understanding the time of the
understanding
revivalist.
The times of the revivalist. Go ahead.
The times of the revivalist.
The times of the revivalist.
Is the times when a special mantle of God.
Is times when a special mantle of God.
Anointing will rest upon the prophetic church.
Read that again.
The times of the revivalist.
The times of the revivalist.
Is the times when a special mantle.
Is the times with a special mantle.
Of God's anointing.
Of God's anointing.
Will rest upon the prophetic.
Will rest upon the prophetic.
Church.
This
mantle is called the mantle of Samuel's anointing.
This mantle is called the mantle of, notice, Samuel's anointing.
And you find it in Acts chapter 3, verse 24.
And that can be found scriptural reference in Acts 3:24. Keep reading. I'm not going to go to that because we have a lot of territory to cover. Go ahead.
The prophetic anointing was brought into a new level of expression.
Was brought into a new level of expression.
Function and maturity.
Before the days of Samuel.
The prophetic anointing was a patriarch type of anointing.
It was a patriarch type of anointing.
Which could only be transferred through natural sonship.
It could only be transferred through natural sonship.
And lineage.
Or lineage. Now, y'all understand what that is saying? When you read the Old Testament, certain anointings were passed down from patriarchs through their family lineage. Specifically, sons. Y'all understand that? That's why when you really understand that a woman takes on someone else's name, that's why men always wanted sons. And when you study, especially under the old covenant, it was always passed on to who? Sons. Why? Don't get mad. I didn't write the Bible. Wasn't passed on to the queen. It was passed on to sons. I don't know why people want to bring gender stuff to the church. When we get to the New Testament, it's going to be all right. Read.
God took some of his spirit.
God took some of his spirit.
And put it upon 70 men.
God took some of whose spirit? You must be going to skip something. Because we were dealing with Samuel. Now you on, who you on?
Moses touched a greater measure
of prophecy. But you didn't even read Moses yet. No, you didn't read it. Did he say anything about Moses' class? Y'all ain't even here. He didn't. I'm listening. Go ahead. No, we were with Samuel. Okay. After lineage. Now, what it says.
Moses touched a greater measure of.
There we go. Moses. We see it. Moses touched a greater level of the prophetic anointing.
God took some of his spirit.
God took some of Moses' spirit.
And put it upon 70 men.
And he put it upon what? 70 men.
God took some of Moses' spirit.
God took some of Moses' spirit.
And put it upon a young man.
And put it upon another young man.
Joshua, who became a capable substitute.
By the name of Joshua, who became a capable substitute.
For Moses.
For Moses. Now, y'all notice what's happening here. Remember, we started off by saying it was passed on Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, 12 patriarchs. Y'all got it? Huh? But then Moses was able to pass on that anointing, that prophetic anointing, to 70 other men who would take on his spirit. But he was also able to pass it on to Joshua. Did y'all see the difference? Huh? Because Joshua wasn't Moses' son. He was Moses' servant, a minister. Are you with me? Are you with me? Because I want you to follow the pattern. Go ahead. Read, sir.
Samuel's ministry marks.
Samuel's ministry marks.
Of the beginning of a new era.
Marks the beginning of a new era.
Of prophetic release.
Of prophetic release.
And corporate leadership.
And corporate leadership.
Number two, Samuel's anointing.
Number two, Samuel's anointing.
Samuel's threefold anointing.
Samuel had a threefold anointing.
Samuel was a prophet.
Samuel was, watch this, a prophet, a priest, and a king or a judge. It was a triune or threefold anointing. Prophet, priest, king, or judge. Go ahead.
As a prophet, God's divine oracles.
As a prophet, God's divine oracles
were continually given to Israel.
Were continually given to Israel.
Unlike the days of Eli.
Unlike the days of Eli. In other words, the word of God was rare back in those days until God began to speak to Samuel. The Bible talks about, see, whenever you read about the ministry of a prophet under the Old Testament, you will always hear these words specifically. The word of the Lord came unto. Y'all, do y'all read the Bible? The word of the Lord came unto Samuel. The word of God, the Lord came unto Elijah. The word of God came unto Elisha. It's all through the Bible. Are you listening? God taking his word and putting it in men's mouth. And men turn around and speaking it. That's true prophecy. You can't be lying on God saying God said something he didn't. Okay, read, sir.
References was 1 Samuel.
No, just read. Keep reading.
Samuel was a priest.
Samuel was a priest.
As a priest.
And as a priest.
Samuel ministered in the house of the Lord at Shiloh.
And as a priest, he ministered.
In the house of the Lord at Shiloh.
He ministered in the house of the Lord at Shiloh.
Samuel was a king.
Samuel was a king or a judge.
As judge, he ruled in both the natural and spiritual.
Now notice that. As a judge, he ruled. He did what? He ruled in both the natural and the spirit realm. That's apostolic government. Are you listening? Apostles open up the portals of heaven. Are you listening? Nothing is moving from heaven into the earth without the apostle, without apostolic government. Do you understand that? Under the New Testament, in Christ, we are kings, prophets, and priests. That's all available. Read.
He kept the people under God's rule and spiritual subjection.
He kept the people, this is Samuel, under God's what? Rule and spiritual subjection. He kept the people in divine order. He kept the people in a heaven to earth government. Read.
Number two, Samuel's anointing.
Samuel's anointing
can be imparted to an individual.
Samuel's anointing could be imparted to what? An individual. That individual did not necessarily have to be his son or his daughter. Y'all understand that? Because there's only two people Samuel passed this anointing on to, King Saul and King David. And you're going to see the difference between the two. Read.
During his lifetime.
During Samuel's lifetime.
Samuel anointed two men.
Samuel anointed how many men?
Two
men.
To be king over Israel.
To be king over Israel.
One was Saul.
One was Saul.
And the other was David.
And the other was David.
Saul was anointed with a flask of oil.
Notice this. Saul was anointed with a flask of oil. That is a container filled with oil. Are you listening? Okay.
There's an anointing.
There is an anointing.
That does not cost our lives.
That does not cost our lives. Did you hear that? See, to follow Apostle Thompson, to follow a man who has a mantle, we're talking about the times of the revivalists, there must be a cost associated with it. Are you listening? You've heard the term, if you want to be the boss, you got to pay the cost. Are you listening? You must pay the cost in order to be the boss. Are you listening? We have a lot of folk want to be bossy, but they ain't paid no price. Okay? Read, sir.
David was anointed with a horn of oil.
Now, David, King David, was anointed with a what? A horn of oil.
This anointing.
Now I'm gonna show, I got to show you something here. Because if you remember when David went, when Saul was sent to anoint, Jesse had many sons. And Samuel thought this is the one. But the oil knew. See, y'all don't read your own Bible. The oil wouldn't flow. Are you listening? The oil wouldn't flow until the right one showed up. Read, sir.
This anointing poured out over the horn.
Poured out of the horn
is symbolism.
Is symbolic or symbolism
that it will cost our whole lives.
That it will cost our whole lives.
Like it cost the animal.
Like it cost the animal
from which the horn was taken.
From which the horn was taken. Did y'all see that? It cost that animal his life. Are you listening? So that horn was taken from something live. That anointing oil came with a cost. What did it cost? Life. Cost me my life. Jesus said, if I lose my life, I'm going to find it. But Jesus said, if I try to keep my life, I'm going to lose it. Jesus said, I'm about to say something. See, this is the truth about the apostolic. You will only have life when you connect to real life. Every man needs a father. A progenitor, someone who can impart into them. Are you listening? Every man, every woman, you need a father. We live in a fatherless generation. So in the natural, so in the spiritual. And fathers are not our friends. They train us to go further. Go ahead, sir.
Saul was men's choice.
Saul was man's choice.
But David was God's
choice. See, Saul was after the flesh. David was after the spirit. Read.
Saul represents the flesh.
Saul represents the flesh.
But David of the spirit.
Though both
men were anointed by Samuel.
Though both of those men were anointed by Samuel.
Yet only David went on into the fullness of Samuel's
yet
anointing.
Only David went on in the fullness of Samuel's anointing. Now, I didn't need to put a peg there. Because sometimes a spiritual father get blamed for what his sons won't do. I wish somebody shout in this First Presbyterian house tonight. See, a father can train you and you can be an ID10T, that's an idiot, and lose your training. Because you're going to let somebody affect your soul, get your soul out of alignment with your father. You got to be in love with your father. You have to have high respect for your father. You must see yourself in your father. You need to go watch The Lion King. Because until you look in the water and see your father, you've lost your identity. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen my father also. When you look into the mirror of the word, you should not be seeing you. You should be seeing your father who sent you. See, this apostolic thing is very important to, we talking about apostolic succession talks about taking something in its original form and not deviating from it. You can only entrust true sons with apostolic government. Read, sir, I got a long way to go. Go ahead.
Samuel's anointing can be placed upon a group of men.
Can be placed upon a group of men as well. Not just upon individuals, but a group. Read.
Samuel's mantle of anointing was placed upon an entire group of men.
Was placed upon an entire group of men.
And each one of them prophesied.
And each one of them prophesied. Simply putting, when you come into the presence of a real mantle, that anointing will get so strong, it'll cause you to prophesy. Reza,
the mantle of prophecy
came upon everyone
who came near Samuel's
anointing.
His anointing covered David.
His anointing covered David.
From the murderous spirit of Saul.
From the murderous spirit of Saul.
And his men.
And his men.
The prophetic mantle.
The prophetic mantle.
Provided divine protection for David.
Provided divine protection. Do y'all hear that? Divine protection for David. Watch what I'm about to tell you. When you are under an apostle's mantle, that governmental gift, baby, it's for protection, correction, direction. Are you listening? You ain't an island to your doggone self. All these walking wonders we got around here. Can I talk for a minute? Jesus chose 12 men who he ordained apostles. None of them had their own itinerary. Thank you for your enthusiasm. That's the problem with most men today. They want to be in charge, but they don't have no experience. They don't have no proof. They have no evidence of their apostleship. Paul said to the church at Galatia, I certify to you, brethren, the gospel I preach is not after man. For I didn't get it from a man, neither did I receive it from a man. Are you listening? I got it from God himself. I got it from the head of the church himself. Only God can call you to stand in an office of an apostle. Only God can make you a father. But you got to have proof. You have to have evidence. You must be a man of integrity. You must have these five principles that Apostle Thompson has in his life. Consecration, sanctification, dedication, availability, accountability. You can add integrity in there too. Hello, somebody. Keep reading, sir.
The mantle of Samuel's anointing.
The mantle of Samuel's anointing.
Subdued the power of the murderous spirit in Saul.
It subdued the power of the murderous spirit in Saul.
Exposed the power of satanic activity.
It exposed the satanic activity that was present in Saul.
Quickened the gifts inside Saul.
And it quickened the gifts inside of Saul.
Enlarged his spirit to contain more of God.
And it enlarged Saul's spirit to contain more of God.
The fullness of the anointing is to break the yoke.
The fullness of the anointing is to do what? Break yokes. Remember, it is only the anointing that removes burdens and destroys yokes. If you're around a real modern-day apostle, your life can't stay the same. They have yokes in your life. That's why God connected you to him. Why does God connect us to someone greater than us? It's because there's something in them that must be deposited in us in order for us to fulfill our assignment and destiny. God didn't design this for you to get it on your own. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Read, sir.
Number four, Samuel's anointing could cover a geographical area.
Samuel's anointing could also cover a geographical area.
Samuel's anointing was governing force.
Samuel's anointing was a governing force.
Over the spiritual climate.
Over the spiritual climate of Israel.
He did the spiritual policy.
He did the spiritual policing
in the heavens.
In the heavens.
As he prayed, the heavens opened.
As he prayed, that notice, as he prayed, the heavens opened.
And God intervened in the lives of his
people. God intervened in the lives of his people. Boy, I tell you one thing. You both thank God for people who have power with God. Risa.
Samuel's anointing
was also a governing force
over the natural realm of Israel.
Over the natural realm of Israel.
He dealt with every foreign and false god.
He dealt with every foreign and false god. That's what the apostolic is about. Dealing with every foreign and false god in society. Are you listening? Causing religions and kingdoms of the world to submit to Christ. Read, sir.
Number three, men and kindred souls.
Men and kindred souls.
The time of the revivalists.
The time of the revivalists.
Is the time where men of kindred spirits.
Is a time where men of kindred spirits.
Are drawn together to carry on God's end time.
Are drawn together to carry on God's end time vision, purpose, and agenda. Read.
It is a time of reproducing men.
It is a time of reproducing men
of integrity and power.
Of integrity and men of power.
These men will have a kindred spirit.
These men will have a kindred spirit.
And God will raise them up in covenant relationship.
And God will raise them up in a covenant relationship
with one another.
With one another.
These times of the revivalists.
These times of the revivalists
will produce men in covenant bonds.
Will produce men in covenant bonds.
Who will not fear to sacrifice anything.
Who will not fear to sacrifice anything
for each other's vision in God.
For each other's vision in God. Stop right there. You'll never get your own if you're not faithful in another man's. You must, can I talk up in here?
Yes, sir.
You must die to yourself. See, we just come out of Easter Sunday, resurrection. If you don't read the Bible, a lot of stuff you ain't gonna catch if you don't really be a student of the Bible. Jesus. There was a point where Jesus came to the Garden of Gethsemane. Are you listening? He knew he was going to be separated from his Father. And he said, Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. There's a time in our lives that our wills must be cross. You got it? God uses men to cause that to happen. I say God uses men to cause that to happen. Oh, don't suck on your lollipop now. God causes men to make that happen because there must be a point in all of our lives where God uses a man to make us make a choice. Is it going to be my will or thy will? Now, here's something you need to understand about Jesus. Jesus prayed a prayer, and most people still ain't picked it up. Jesus said, Father, all things are possible to you. Y'all in hear that. You know what Jesus was saying? There is another way if you want it to be. You can do it another way because all things are possible to you. God can do anything he wants. Who to tell him what he can do or not do? Huh? But Jesus, knowing that, still went right back and said, but if you changed it and made it another way, because you could, you would only do it because my will got in the way. You understand that? So not my will, your will be done. Are you listening to me? When you follow an apostle, it is not your will. God tempers him, models him, forms him in a certain dimension and way so he can do the same with you. There's stuff in him you need. And a real father will never cause you to lose your uniqueness. That's one thing about Apostle Thomas. You're talking about a mature father. That's a mature man. That's a real father. Because a lot of people want to be connected to him because they don't want to be connected because they think it's all about him. They really don't know the heart of a father. A real father is going to cheer his sons and daughters. I wish somebody act like they went to a football game when their son got the ball. Hell, when your son got the ball, everybody else in the whole stadium ceased to exist. That's my boy. What make you think Apostle Thompson not like that? Y'all ain't talking to me. Now y'all ready for this? And the heart of a son is to cheer his daddy on. Y'all ain't talking to me. There's nobody greater in a son's eyes than his father. That's the one he looks up to. That's the one he models his life after. Except for when he got a crazy woman. Oh, Lord. Don't speak in tongues now. Just because you and the man got a divorce and you all jacked up in your crazy soul, you should never turn a son against his father. Because if you do, you curse him for a lifetime. That's for some of you saints out there who divorced and still bitter with your bitter. Wah, bah, 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 bah. Come on, let's go, sir. I got to keep going. I might get in trouble. Go ahead.
Samuel's anointing
affected the life of David
to such an extent, that the first thing that he did, when he became king of Israel, was to bring back the ark
of the covenant to Israel. Why was that important? Because the ark of the covenant contained what? God's presence. And wherever God's presence is, that's where his power is. That's where his anointing is. That's where his glory is. So the first thing David wanted back in the camp was the ark of the covenant, which was the heart of Samuel. See, when God calls sons into existence, there are things that God put in the father that he cannot carry it all out. So God will give him sons who will complete the assignment. Oh, you're going to see it. You're going to see it because Elijah anointed two men, Jehu to be king, and Elisha to be prophet in his stead. And when you study those texts out in 1st, 2nd Kings, you will find out that those men carried out things that God spoke to Elijah. He never spoke to them directly. How did they get it? They got it from their father. Thank you for your enthusiasm. There are things that I will know to do because my father told me. He shared his heart with me. He gave me insight, inroads. Because watch this. Ministry is not about you doing something new. Ministry is about you carrying on apostolic, again, succession. Back to the original plan. God's original plan for man have not changed, folks. God created us to rule and to reign over the works of his hands, to have dominion over the fish of the sea, to follow the air, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Are you listening? To tear down every kingdom that's not subject to him. That's called dominion. Occupy till he come. Kick tail till he come. That's what that means. That don't mean pray, Lord, the devil after me. No, no. Beat the devil running down. I'm so glad. Get out that church. Go ahead, read.
Samuel's greatest desire
was the ark to be returned to Israel. Notice, Samuel's greatest desire is what David did. Well, why was David able to carry it out? Because Samuel, his father, was imparting it into him. Here y'all go. Y'all don't read the Bible. The Bible said, God will give you what? The desires of your heart. How is he going to do that when you delight yourself in him? See, when you delight yourself in God, God imparts to you, watch this. I know he said he'll give you the desires of your heart, but he real smart. He put it in there. He talked to you so long and so strong that desire get in you, then you begin to desire, watch this, what God really want for you. And God say, your desire is really my desire. Well, who knows everything? Who knows everything? God, who knows what's best for you? Who tailor-made you? Psalm 139:14 say, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Are you listening? Go ahead, sir.
The desire was transferred to David. When David dealt with him in Ramoth.
Read.
God spoke to Elijah to anoint Jehu king
of Israel.
It was Elijah who commissioned one of the sons of the prophets to anoint Jehu as king. Unless we have men of kindred spirits joining together there will not be apostolic succession in the church.
Read that again, because you're getting, hold up, you're tongue twisting me up. Okay, read again. What?
Unless we have men of kindred
spirits. Unless we have men of kindred spirits.
Joining together. There will not be apostolic secession.
There will not be apostolic secession
in the church.
And did you hear what that said? Y'all want to know why churches are so raggedy and run down and it got 40,000 churches in one city block and the whole city under demonic power? Because there's been no true apostolic succession. Y'all want to know what true apostolic succession looked like? Moses passing on to Joshua. Elijah to Elisha. Are you listening? Samuel to David. Jesus to the 12 apostles. Paul to Timothy. That's what you call apostolic succession. Paul made a statement that fathers need to be able to make about you as a son or a daughter. Paul said, I'm sending Timothy unto you, for I find no other like-minded, no other joined in the same mind that I have, who will carry it out exactly like I said. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Not somebody gonna twist it and do it another way. It must be protected in its original form. Money cometh cannot be given to a generation that's going to put T-shirts out and hats and bumper stickers and make songs. Because if you do that, you're violating the rules of engagement given to God by the apostle. I don't know, some of y'all act like y'all don't hear what I'm saying. If you are a partaker of this apostolic ministry, money cometh will be yours if you decide to be a real son and daughter. And here, smell a coffee. You can never see how far somebody is going while they're in training. But if they train right, baby, the proof is in the eating of the pudding. You're going to have other people heckling you, talking about you're filing too close, and they don't take all of that. Do like Eddie Kendricks. Keep on trucking, baby. Don't pay them no mind. They're trying to mess with your destiny. You got to stick close. When men are walking away, my brother, Dr. Phillips, he in another class over there. Y'all know, we twins. I'm sorry. We are twins. If Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger could be twins, we can make it. Now, I'm about to say something. See, we made a covenant together. We came up here for one reason, to connect to Apostle Thompson. If you connect to Apostle Thompson, we all going the same way. Are you listening? If either one of us disconnect, if he decide to leave Apostle, goodbye. No more twins. I'm a singlet. Are you listening? No. Y'all got to understand. He made the statement. We came in together. All right. Huh? But we can't leave together. Are you listening? Because the one who leaves got to go. See, this is, baby, when you're really connected to a real man of God, you better make up your mind you really connected. Your mama can't get you off. Your daddy can't get you off. Your husband can't get you off. Your wife can't get you off. Negroes in the church who don't like your man of God can't get you off. Your biggest tither can lead a church. But he ain't left because God's still there, but because he's trying to control you with money. I'm not walking away from Apostle Thompson. My brother, that's him right there. That's my youngest brother. He can tell you I had family members who was walking with me. They turned on Apostle. I let them go. Goodbye. I'm gone. Shundai, hook them aside. How much time I got on the clock?
17 seconds.
Y'all think I'm getting in trouble for y'all. Y'all read chapter 18. Okay, class over.